You were born with individual strengths and a unique purpose. Don't let fears, false beliefs, or life's happenings diminish your influence. It's time to live and lead for impact. Host Kirsten Ross, expert of transformation, will help you defeat the drama and overcome the trauma that can stop you in your tracks. You'll gain focus, find confidence, and take bold action. Unleash passionate, purposeful you. Let's go.
Drama zaps energy and steals focus, so let's defeat some drama now. Today's topic is all about customer service. I'm going to be helping you to define your unique keys to great service. So depending on what kind of business you have, that will determine the kind of customer service behaviors and experiences that you're going to want your team to exhibit so that they create the right experience for your customers. The first step in the process, this might sound super simple, but sometimes we're not completely aware. What products and services do you provide? So have you gotten really clear on that? Because the truth is, even if you are providing products, you are also providing service. And people want to do business with people who make them feel good. And so what are the experiences that you're creating for them? What is the service? So for instance, maybe you're selling houses. Well, so that's a product, a house. But when they're looking at homes and filling out paperwork and doing all those kinds of things, that's a service. So you really need to think about your business holistically. You'll think about, I don't know if any of you have been to a store called The Buckle, but they sell jeans. So that's definitely a product. But one of the unique things about that store, if you've ever been to one, they provide great service. Every employee in there is infatuated with jeans, or at least they make you believe that. And when you're in there, they know every product. They make it fun. There's a ton of energy. They know what shirt's going to go with what jeans because they have all this complimentary stuff that goes with blue jeans. And they know, they can look at your body type and figure out exactly which pair of jeans you need that's going to fit your unique body type. So that's a service. So they're providing definitely products. That's what you're buying. But this experience is created by the service. So I want you to stop and think about your business. What products are you selling and what service? And a service might be after the fact. If someone has an issue, what's the service that they're experiencing from you? Are they having a good experience when they, you know, have an issue or they have to get something fixed or they have questions and they need answers from you? That's a service. And it goes along with that product. So the first question is to really define and think holistically about your business. Every product and every service that goes into your business. What are you providing for your customers? So that's the first question. The second question is, what should it feel like to do business with you? Have you stopped to think about that? What do you want that experience to be? Is it going to be upbeat? Is it going to be fun? You know, is it like Buckle where everyone's, you know, saying, hey, what are you doing tonight? And what, you know, what are your big plans for the weekend? And oh my gosh, you have got to get these jeans. Is it like that? Or is it very, you know, detailed and you know, one thing after another and precise? Or have you ever been to Ed DeBevick in Chicago? So that experience, ironically, is kind of a negative experience, but that's part of the fun of that restaurant. You know, so they're creating an experience. What should it feel like? It should feel like people are being really rude all around you. They're yelling at customers, but that's the fun of it. So it's ironic. So they're very specific about the experience, and that would not be created unless they intentionally decided that that's what they wanted to provide for their customers. So there's the product and the service that you're providing, and then there's the feel. What's the experience that goes along with doing business with you? Now, once you've decided the experience that you want to provide, is it going to be fun or detailed or somber or empathetic? You know, what is it? Now you have to determine how you're going to create that experience. What kind of behaviors do your employees need to exhibit to provide that experience? So I'm going to go back to Buckle again. If it's going to be this just high energy people in love with blue jeans, then you need really high energy people. So your whole recruiting process is going to include finding those specific kinds of people. But once you've defined the kind of experience that you want, that's going to help you figure out the specific kind of people that you need who will be able to create that experience. You'll also be able to explain it to them in detail. You know, you might have specific things that they say, ways that they act, and you would be able to define it specifically. I want you to stop and think about your own customer service experiences. We've all had great customer service experiences, and we've all had really challenging ones. And what are the elements that make one experience great and another one not so great? I want to tell you a quick story. I won't say the name of the company, but we were going on a trip, and we already had tickets for a place in Orlando, but I wanted to explore whether or not I wanted to invest in a meal plan for each of us. So there were four of us going. And so I went to this place that helps you kind of plan your travel. I needed to purchase some tickets, and then I just wanted to ask about the meal plan. Well, the woman ended up saying, oh, you know, here's the great thing about the meal plan, and maybe you want to just do it one day. And so she talked me into it, and then she said, I can take care of that for you. And I thought, oh, great, you know, because otherwise I was going to have to go home and go online and figure it out. And I was already there, and I was already purchasing tickets, so I thought, perfect. Well, then all of a sudden it became this huge, well, you know, for me to do this, I actually have to act like I'm setting up a whole trip for you. So she had to ask me a whole bunch of questions. And then the process wasn't working well. And then she ended up saying, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing. And she had to call someone over and ask for help. And oh my gosh, it took forever. Finally, I started saying, you know what, I really, you know, I can just order it online. It's not that big a deal. No. I really want to help you. You know, we're going to get this figured out. I just haven't done this before, and it's making me answer all these questions. And I thought, okay, it was over 45 minutes and I was still there, and I still didn't have this four-person meal pass for one of the days that we were going to be on the trip. So then I said, you know, I think I'm just going to go. No. We've almost got it. All right. So I wait another little time. She's still calling more people over. She's having to go ask for things. We get to the very end of the transaction, and she says, oh, well, there's a processing fee. I don't remember what it was. It was maybe $25 or $30, but I just thought, oh my gosh, I just spent an extra hour and 20 minutes to be charged an extra $25. And what I realized was she got some sort of credit or some, you know, was able to hit some sort of quota or something by setting up a whole trip for me when I really didn't need the trip. We didn't need lodging at that point. We already had that taken care of. And so she was just using up my time so that she could try to meet her numbers, and then was charging me extra. Had I gone home and taken the 5 minutes it would have taken me to purchase this meal plan online, it wouldn't have charged me the $25 fee. So when she told me at the end that it was an extra $25, I said, oh, wait a minute. You know, you didn't tell me that up front, and now I've waited all this time, and no, I need to have that waived. I've already, you know, you didn't tell me ahead. Oh, no, I can't. And long story short, this did not end up being a good customer service. I mean, it always has a good ending usually, but you know, so I ended up going home, calling back, talking to a manager, because I didn't get to talk to a manager while I was at the store. And the manager ended up apologizing and profusely and ended up refunding that $25. So I really appreciated that. So customer an experience, if you're learning, and you know, she was also kind of getting defensive. Well, I haven't done this and it takes me a while to learn and I have to learn sometime. And I'm thinking, well, I don't have an hour and a half for you to participate in your learning. I can't invest in this. So that's an example of an experience that's less than ideal. So, you know, what made that less than ideal? Well, it was centered around her and her needs and her meeting her quotas and her learning new things. And it wasn't centered around me providing me with great service and just saying, you know what, the best thing for you to do is just order this online. It'll be quicker and it'll be cheaper. So what kind of experience helps make a good customer service experience, and what makes a poor one? I can tell you I had a great experience so my identity got stolen a couple of years ago, and it's kind of a long story, but the people who stole my identity had set up an online account with this store, and they had ordered some stuff, and then they tried to change the address, but they couldn't. So they had to send it to me because the company made you make your first purchases. It was smart. They made you make the first purchases and send them to the original address. So anyway, I had these items, I think it was a bunch of cameras, were heading towards me on UPS. And so I said, oh, I don't want these to arrive. I don't know, you know, they know where I live. What if they try to intercept them? I just didn't want them to even come to my door. So I was able to call UPS, work with them. And, you know, normally there's a 1-800 number. It's hard to get a hold of someone. I ended up getting a local number and they were so, so helpful. They actually pulled the items off the truck for me at the station. They went above and beyond. It was great customer service. So what made that great customer service? Well, they had discretionary effort. They were the champion for me. So what are the kinds of elements that make something a good customer service experience and a poor customer service experience? And start to take a look in your business. Are you creating the good experiences or the not so good experiences? I mean, it really is a time to get real. So, you know, where do you have to make changes? And then you're going to go through the process that I've outlined to figure out what you need to implement to really rock out your customer service. So just to recap, you're going to specifically define the product and services that you're providing. Because again, remember, even if you think you're just selling products, you're actually in some way, shape, or form, even if the only service is in making a good sale, you know, making that a smooth process, there is a service involved. So is someone smiling or are they nasty when someone's trying to make their purchase? So what's the product or service that you're selling? And almost in most cases, it's going to be both unless you don't have a product. Then what should it feel like to do business with you? And how would you achieve those experiences? What kind of behaviors and personalities are required for your team to create those experiences for your customers? And stop and think about your own customer service, good experiences and bad experiences, and start to really define and dive into specifically what you want inside of your business as people are working with you. All right, that's it for today. I hope you can make it a great day. Thanks for joining me. If you want some additional help, I have a great webinar. It's free. If you go to my website, defeatthedrama.com, click on the webinar site and you can sign up. There are a couple different times available. Sign up for one of those, listen to it, and it'll guide you through some additional steps you can take to defeat the drama in your business. Until next time, make it a great day.